Chapter 5. Hazards. 5.0. Dangers of driving. You know there are serious risks and consequences to driving. You will make mistakes, and those around you will make mistakes. Even though risk is always present, driving safely can reduce crash potential. Navigating risk involves being aware, predictable, smooth, and proficient behind the wheel. To drive well and without incidents, you need to intentionally develop and use safe driving habits as your default driving style. Fatal crash common factors: speed, impairment, distractions, unrestrained occupants, inexperience. In Washington, vehicle crashes are leading causes of death for people ages 16 to 25. This age group is more susceptible to fatal and serious injury crashes. Risk awareness. Risk awareness is your ability to identify present and potential hazards on the road. It helps you be aware of things that might require you to change your behavior to avoid a crash. Risk awareness includes being mindful of other road users, weather conditions, and potential distractions. Risk awareness relies on understanding what is happening around you and what may happen next. Keep your head scanning continually. Stay aware of what's happening in front of you, beside you, and behind you. You can do this by using your peripheral vision and mirrors. Leave enough space in front of your vehicle to see what's happening on the road ahead. Check behind you after spotting a hazard that requires you to make a change. What's happening behind you can affect your decision-making. It's impossible to remove risk completely. However, you can learn how to avoid or minimize risks by identifying them and then adjusting your driving appropriately. Hazard perception. Hazard perception is your ability to scan for potential risks on the road and to identify them before they become a problem. This skill is important for safe driving and helps prevent crashes. Hazard perception requires attentiveness, quick decision-making, ability to react appropriately to changing situations. A hazard is anything that requires you to make a change. When you're behind the wheel, you should always be looking for hazards or responding to them. A hazard might require you to change your speed or direction. A hazard can be an immediate danger, such as a child running out onto the road, or something less serious, such as a trash can in the road, coming up to a speed limit sign, or approaching the turn to your driveway. A hazard can be stationary or moving. There could be more than one hazard at the same time. It's your responsibility as a driver to determine which hazard requires the most urgent response. Drive slower when approaching hazards to give yourself more space-time to make safe decisions. Situational awareness. Situational awareness is observing what's happening all around you and predicting what you should prepare for next. You should do this constantly. You need to know who might be affected by your actions and who needs to know your intentions. The drivers behind you could be the most affected by your decisions. Hazard management. You will encounter an unlimited number of situations on the road. It would be difficult to predict or have a plan for each one. Instead, you should develop a reliable routine for responding to hazards that requires you to plan. Scan your environment to know what's happening around you. Be sure you also look in your rearview mirror to see what's happening behind you. Decide if the change you want to make is safe. Communicate. Let others know what you plan to do. Use your signals and make sure everyone is well aware of your intentions. Check. Prepare your vehicle position and speed so you have adequate space to make your change with no more than medium braking. Recheck your mirrors and look over your shoulder for pedestrians and bicyclists. Make sure no other drivers are trying to move into the same space. Execute. Make the change smoothly. Try not to surprise anyone. Be ready to change your plan if needed. Evaluate. Think about how it went. See if you need to adjust your routine for next time. 5.1. Speed. Even if you're in a hurry, the risks of speeding are not worth it. Speeding puts everyone on the road in danger. Follow the posted speed limit to protect yourself, the people who care about you, and the other individuals and families sharing the road with you. Following the posted speed limit is about more than following the law. Even if you're in a hurry, the risks of speeding are not worth it. Speeding puts everyone on the road in danger. Prioritize safety and drive at a speed that allows you to maintain control and react to hazards. Excessive speeds. Driving over the speed limit could harm your car, other people, and you. Excessive speeds can reduce the effectiveness of seatbelts. Seatbelts are designed to protect you in a crash, but their effectiveness decreases at higher speeds. Limit your ability to visually scan for hazards. The faster you drive, the less time you have to scan the road ahead for potential dangers, like pedestrians, cyclists, or other vehicles. Reduce vehicle and traction control. High speeds can make it harder to control your vehicle, especially in adverse conditions like rain or snow. This can lead to skidding or losing control entirely. Create longer stopping distances. It takes longer to stop a vehicle at higher speeds. This increases the risk of a collision if you need to brake suddenly. Give you less time to assess your path of travel and make necessary changes. Speeding gives you less time to react to changes in the road, such as curves, intersections, or obstacles. Increase the severity of injuries in the event of a crash. The force of impact in a crash increases with speed, leading to more severe injuries or fatalities. Speed limits. Speed limits indicate the maximum speed legal under ideal conditions. Washington law also requires you to drive at speeds that are safe for current road conditions. This means reducing your speed when conditions are poor. You can drive below the speed limit, but exceeding it is illegal. You're responsible for always driving at a safe speed, regardless of the posted limit. Adjusting speed for conditions. Speeding is a dangerous and unnecessary risk. Arriving late is better than not arriving at all. Reduce your speed in conditions like the following: sharp curves or hills where visibility is limited, slippery roads due to rain, snow, or ice, areas with pedestrians, children, cyclists, or animals, shopping centers, parking lots, and areas with heavy foot traffic, heavy traffic congestion, narrow bridges and tunnels, residential areas. Space. Judging space when you're driving is a valuable skill. It can take time and practice before you're proficient, which is why novice drivers are at a greater risk. You can judge space by distance or time, but you need to constantly evaluate your position on the road. Try to keep plenty of space around you as you drive. You can reduce your risk and give yourself time to determine an alternative path if needed by leaving enough space around your vehicle. It will provide additional room to take action should there be a problem in your path of travel. When you're driving near other vehicles, it's important to leave a distance that's at least twice the length of your vehicle between you and the vehicle ahead. When merging, give yourself enough space so you safely apply your hazard management routine to plan, communicate, check, execute, and evaluate. Merging. When you're merging, enter traffic with enough space so you don't cause the people around you to swerve, slow, or stop. Trying to merge into a space that is too small can be dangerous, especially if the driver in front needs to stop or slow down. Drivers already on the interstate have the right of way, so creating space to merge might require you to adjust your speed, faster or slower. Use the entire on-ramp, your turn signal, and your mirrors to merge into a safe space on the interstate. Zipper merging. When traffic is moving slowly or is stopped due to a lane closure, it's important to merge smoothly and efficiently. Zipper merging is a technique that improves traffic flow by 60%, creates a predictable merging pattern, reducing the risk of collisions caused by sudden lane changes, helps avoid the frustration of long lines and the temptation to cut in line. How to zipper merge? Stay in your lane. Continue using both lanes until you reach the designated merge area. Take turns. Alternate merging with vehicles from the other lane, like the teeth of a zipper coming together. Be courteous. Allow one vehicle from the ending lane to merge in front of you, then merge into the open lane. Maintain speed. Continue merging at a steady pace, matching the speed of traffic in the open lane. 5.4. Time. To reduce risk, give yourself plenty of time to evaluate and move through traffic. You can use a technique like eye lead time, which allows you to scan the road ahead for potential hazards. Eye lead time is an important part of defensive driving. It gives you time to see, analyze, and respond to hazards. Scan as far as you can see ahead and to the sides. Use your mirrors to scan behind. The earlier you identify a hazard, the more time you have to prepare for it, and the more time those around you have to adjust to your changes. This is a proactive approach to driving. It's less risky than relying on your reactions to avoid danger. Count seconds. Practice judging the space your vehicle will travel in a short amount of time using this simple exercise. 1. Pick out a marker, such as a road sign or utility pole, that you think it's 15 seconds ahead of your vehicle. 2. Count until you reach the marker. Guessing before you count helps you develop the ability to correctly estimate the distance your vehicle will travel in seconds. Your accuracy will improve as you continue to practice this method. It is crucial to give yourself time to stop or maneuver around obstacles and in unpredictable traffic situations. With enough time, you can evaluate and prioritize your decisions in traffic. This can help reduce panic and impulsive reactions. Turning in front of approaching vehicles. You'll get better with experience, but it can be challenging to judge how much time you have to turn when facing oncoming traffic. It's better to give yourself too much time than not enough. Remember, approaching traffic has the right of way. You can watch oncoming vehicles pass a marker on the side of the road, like a tree, and count how many seconds it takes until they clear the road you want to turn onto. You can use that time frame to estimate how long the next vehicle will take to travel the same distance. Then, you know when you have enough time to turn safely. Turning onto the flow of traffic requires something similar. You need time to complete your turn without impacting the flow of traffic you're entering. You need enough time to make the turn and reach the speed of oncoming traffic. 5.5. Focus. Being mindful will help you prioritize safety and awareness on the road. Be mentally present. Commit to being fully engaged and focused on driving. Turn off distractions like your phone and in-car entertainment systems. Be prepared. Anticipate hazards by scanning the road ahead. Maintain awareness of your surroundings. Be proactive. Adjust your speed and driving behavior based on road conditions, weather, and traffic. Attention. Your full attention is essential for safe driving. Your brain can only focus on one thing at a time. Choose to actively pay attention when you're behind the wheel. Align your mental attention and visual focus. Your attention is the most valuable asset on the road. Eliminate internal and external distractions. Distractions, even for a few seconds, can have devastating consequences. By staying focused and avoiding distractions, you can significantly reduce your risk of being involved in a crash. Field of vision. You'll use three types of vision while you're driving: Higher speeds reduce the quality of each type of vision. 1. Central vision allows you to see details straight in front of you. It's the vision you're using to read these words. 2. Fringe vision is what you use to see the edges of the driver guide pages. You can see it, but it may not be very focused. 3. Peripheral vision is what you can see to the side of you without losing focus on the words. It could be the walls of the room you're in or someone walking past you. Path of travel. Your path of travel is the route or course you drive to get from one place to another. You'll likely need to change your path at some point. You might need to adjust because of a hazard, weather conditions, or because you need to travel in a new direction. You'll need to visualize your new target area and intended path of travel. A big part of driving is constantly shifting your visual focus and mental attention between where you are and where you want to be. Line of sight. Once you pick the area where you want to be, your line of sight is what's between you and that target. You will switch your visual and mental attention between your path of travel and line of sight quickly and repeatedly. Recognize you will divide visual focus and mental attention among your path of travel, your line of sight, your intended target area, present and potential hazards, your vehicle, interior and exterior, other road users, yourself. Information gathering. Intentional focus and active attention help you gather the information you need to make wise decisions behind the wheel. Scanning your path of travel and line of sight is a continuous process that can sometimes feel overwhelming, especially when you're first learning to drive. Set yourself up for success by forming habits and routines involving constant vigilance and minimal distractions. Road and driving conditions. Part of driving means following speed limits and adjusting for road conditions. For example, you slow down before a sharp curve when the roadway is slippery or when there is water on the road to help you maintain control of your vehicle. Your hazard awareness, decision-making, and wise choices have a huge impact on how safely you travel in different conditions. Night driving. It's harder to see at night, and you should. Drive at a speed that will allow you to stop within the glow of your headlights, usually 400 feet. Use your high beams whenever there are no oncoming vehicles. Switch back to your regular headlights when there is approaching traffic. Use your regular headlights when following another vehicle. Avoid looking directly into oncoming headlights. Keep your eyes searching the road in front of your vehicle. Try to search beyond your headlight beams. Look for dark shapes or shadows on the roadway. Glance occasionally to the sides to find the edge of the pavement and to spot hazards that might come from the sides. Do not wear sunglasses or colored lenses when driving at night or on overcast days. Tinted or colored lenses reduce your vision. Increase your following distance for night driving conditions and driving on unfamiliar roadways at night. If a vehicle comes toward you with its high beams on, look toward the right side of the road to keep from being distracted by the headlights. Curves. Driving around curves requires awareness of the road and control of your vehicle. Smooth steering and smart driving habits give you some control over road position and balance. The laws of motion, which are out of your control, also impact road position and balance. Approaching a curve. Watch your speed. Reduce your speed before entering the curve. This helps maintain traction and prevents your vehicle from skidding or veering off the road. Uphill curves could require more acceleration, while downhill curves might require more braking. Look ahead. Scan the road ahead to anticipate the sharpness and length of the curve. This will help you determine the appropriate speed and steering adjustments. Choose the best lane position. Position your vehicle slightly to the outside of the lane as you approach the curve. This will give you more room to maneuver and improve your visibility around the curve. in the curve. Maintain a steady speed. Avoid braking or accelerating suddenly while in the curve. This can disrupt your vehicle's balance and lead to a loss of control. Gentle steering. Steer smoothly and gradually through the curve. Avoid oversteering or jerky movements, which can cause your vehicle to skid. Be prepared to adjust. Be ready to adjust your speed or steering based on road conditions, visibility, and the behavior of other drivers. Exiting the curve. Accelerate gradually. As you exit the curve, gently accelerate back to your desired speed. This will help you maintain stability and transition smoothly back into traveling straight. Check your mirrors. Scan your mirrors to ensure you have adequate space to merge or change lanes if needed. Loss of motion. When driving on curved roads, it's important to understand the forces affecting your vehicle and adjust your driving to stay in control. Roll and yaw. Roll affects how much your vehicle tilts during a turn. Yaw affects side-to-side movement, and both are important for maintaining control. Adjusting your speed and steering can help balance your roll and yaw while driving through curves. Momentum. When you're driving in a straight line, your vehicle has momentum in that direction. However, when you enter a curve, you need to change the direction and momentum of your vehicle. Inertia. In a curve, your vehicle will want to pull a little to keep you moving in a straight line. If you suddenly turn the steering wheel, inertia will try to keep the car moving straight. This is why you must carefully steer to smoothly make the turn. Kinetic energy. Higher speeds create more energy, requiring more time and space to stop or change direction. Slowing down for curves lowers your vehicle's kinetic energy and helps you make the turn without losing traction or control. Friction. Friction is the force between the tires and the road. It allows your vehicle to grip the surface. The more friction there is, the better your tires can grip the road. This helps you slow down, speed up, or turn safely. Slippery roads due to rain, snow, or ice can significantly reduce friction in curves. Slow down even more and avoid sudden movements in these conditions. Slippery roads. Washington weather can cause slippery roads. Rain, snow, and sleet create dangers on the roadway. When the road is slippery, you must adjust your driving for the conditions, which might require you to drive below the posted speed limit. If it starts to rain on a hot day, the pavement can be very slippery for the first few minutes. Heat causes the oil in the asphalt to come to the surface. The road is slippery until the oil washes away. Snowy roads will require a larger following distance and dramatically reduce speed. Use snow tires or chains when it's required. During winter months, you can improve traction by adding chains to your tires or changing to studded tires. Avoid icy roads as much as possible. If you must drive on icy roads, slow down and leave extra space around your vehicle. On cold, wet days, shady spots can be icy. Overpasses and other types of bridges can have icy spots even when the rest of the road doesn't. When below freezing temperatures warm up to near freezing, ice can melt and become wet. This makes the road more slippery. Black ice refers to a thin coating of ice that is hard for drivers to see. Even if you don't see ice, pay attention when driving in temperatures near or below freezing. Many drivers crash when they lose control of their vehicles on black ice. Skidding. Skids are caused when the tires can no longer grip the road. High speeds and slippery roads increase the possibility of skidding if you turn or stop suddenly. Because you cannot control a vehicle when it's skidding, it's best to avoid skidding in the first place. If you're skidding, do the following. 1. Take your foot off the accelerator. 2. Press or pump your brakes. Anti-lock brakes will help control the rotation of the wheels to slow down faster. They will also allow you to continue steering the vehicle. If you don't have anti-lock brakes, quickly pressing the brake pedal down could cause you to skid more. 3. Steer in the same direction your vehicle is moving. 4. Continue to correct your steering. Adjust the wheel until your tires have regained traction and are going in the direction you're steering. 5. Assess the situation. After getting control, consider the road conditions and adjust your driving behavior as needed. Hydroplaning. Hydroplaning happens when water builds up between your tires and the road surface. This causes the tires to lose traction and skid. The vehicle can feel like it's floating or sliding, making it hard for you to keep control. The best way to keep from hydroplaning is to slow down when the road is wet. If you hydroplane, it is important you do the following. 1. Take your foot off the accelerator. 2. Gently press the brakes. Anti-lock brakes will help the vehicle regain contact with the road. If you don't have anti-lock brakes, forcefully pressing the brake pedal could cause you to hydroplane more. 3. Keep the steering wheel steady. Avoid overcorrecting or jerking the steering wheel. 4. Look where you want to go. Maintain your focus on the road while you calmly wait for your tires to regain traction. 5. Assess the situation. After getting control, consider the road conditions and adjust your driving behavior as needed. Five. 7. Vehicle failures. If you have vehicle troubles on the road, remember these tips. Get your vehicle off the road and away from traffic if possible. Stop where other drivers have a clear view of your vehicle, especially if you can't get your vehicle off the road. Avoid stopping just over a hill or around a curve. Turn on your emergency flashers and headlights. Warn other road users by placing emergency flares 200 to 300 feet behind the vehicle. Stand somewhere safe. And wave traffic around your vehicle if you don't have emergency flares or another warning device. Lift the hood or tie a white cloth to the antenna, side mirror, or door handle to signal an emergency. Tires. If a tire blows out or suddenly goes flat, grip the steering wheel firmly and keep the vehicle going straight. Slow down gradually. Take your foot off the accelerator. Do not brake. Allow the vehicle to slow by itself or brake gently if necessary. Pull off the road in a safe place, if possible, and turn on emergency flashers. If you can't get to a safe place to change your tire, turn on your hazard warning lights, stay in your vehicle, and call for help. Have the tire repaired or replaced. Power. If the engine shuts off while you're driving, keep a strong grip on the steering wheel. Be aware that the steering wheel might be difficult to turn, but you can turn it. Look for an escape path. Don't brake hard. Instead, brake with steady pressure on the pedal, slow down, and then pull off the roadway. Stop and try to restart the engine. If unsuccessful, raise the hood and turn on your hazard warning lights. Call for help. Headlight. If your headlights suddenly go out, put on your hazard warning lights, turn signals or fog lights if you have them. Pull off the road as soon as possible. Accelerator. If the vehicle keeps going faster and faster, keep your eyes on the road. Quickly shift to neutral. Pull off the road when safe to do so. Turn off the engine. 5.8. Communicating risk. Risk is everywhere, in city and country communities, on highways, back roads, in parking lots, and driveways. Keep yourself informed of all present and potential risks. There might be times when you'll need to communicate to others that a risk is present. Thoughtful use of your lights, horn, and hand signals can vary depending on the situation, but can be effective ways to communicate with other road users. 5.9. Collisions. All drivers eventually will find themselves in an emergency situation. As careful as you are, there are situations that could cause problems for you. All drivers have the responsibility to prevent crashes. Sometimes, this will require you to use evasive maneuvers, but a basic understanding of the laws of physics can also help you avoid crashing. No matter how well you drive, you can still become involved in a collision. Collisions typically have three causes. 1. Too much speed. 2. Too little space. 3. Insufficient situational awareness. Crashing a vehicle. Do not drive away. If anyone is injured or killed, call 911. Law enforcement must be notified. Move the vehicle to the side of the road, but near the collision site as soon as possible. Don't stand or walk in traffic lanes. You could be struck by another vehicle. Use flares or other warning devices to alert other drivers of the collision. Turn off wrecked vehicles. Don't smoke around wrecked vehicles. Fuel could have spilled, and fire is a real danger. If the collision involves a parked vehicle, you must try to locate the owner. If you cannot, leave a note in a place where they can easily see it. Include the date and time of collision in your contact information. Reporting a crash. After a collision, gather information that will help you report the incident. 1. Collect information from others involved. You should also share your information. You'll need to exchange your name, contact information, and driver license number and insurance company and policy number. 2. Take photos or videos of any damage to the vehicles. 3. Provide information to the police or other emergency officials if requested. 4. File a collision report form within 4 days of a crash if a law enforcement officer doesn't do this for you. The form is required by state law. Go to dol.wa.gov and search collision report form. Reporting an injury. Injuries can add more stress after a crash. Do your best to stay calm, assess yourself, and then help others. Call 911. Do not move injured people unless they're in a burning vehicle or otherwise in immediate danger. Help anyone who isn't already walking and talking. Check for breathing, then check for bleeding. Follow these steps if you see bleeding. 1. Apply pressure with hands. 2. Apply bandage dressing. 3. Apply a tourniquet. Do not give injured people anything to drink, not even water. Cover injured people with a blanket or coat to keep them warm and to help prevent them from going into shock. Calling 911. It's important to call 911 in the event of a car crash to get emergency help. Remember to 1. Stay calm. Try to remain calm and composed. This will help you give clear and accurate information to the dispatcher. 2. Assess the situation. Quickly assess how serious the crash is and any injuries to you or others. When talking to a 911 dispatcher, you should 1. Provide location. Clearly state your location to the dispatcher, including any close landmarks or mile markers. If you aren't sure about your location, try to provide as much detail as possible to help emergency responders find you. 2. Describe the situation. Give a brief description of the crash, including the number of vehicles involved, the damage, and any injuries. 3. Follow dispatcher instructions. The dispatcher might ask questions to assess the situation and provide instructions. 4. Provide details. Be prepared to give more details if needed. These details could include the vehicle types, license plate numbers, and any hazards. 5. Stay on the phone. Stay on the phone with the dispatcher until help arrives. Encountering power lines. If a power line comes in contact with your vehicle, do not get out of the vehicle. If a collision involves power lines, you need to take special precautions. Turn off your engine, call 911, and stay inside your vehicle until emergency responders arrive. You never know how, when, or if a power line is charged, but assume they're all energized. If you accidentally drive over a power line, stop immediately. Moving forward or reversing puts you at risk of being electrocuted. Call 911 and stay inside your vehicle until you are told it's safe to exit. If power lines fall on your vehicle, or if you hit a transformer box, stay in your vehicle and call 911. The ground around your vehicle could also be energized. When possible, encourage people to stay at least 35 feet away. If your vehicle comes in contact with power lines and a fire starts, you want to evacuate the vehicle. It's very important that you jump clear of the vehicle. Open your door and perch on the ledge of the doorway. Jump away from your vehicle with your arms at your sides. Be careful not to touch the vehicle. Make sure both feet land together. To avoid electric shock, shuffle 35 feet away to safety. Do not go back inside the vehicle for any belongings until advised that it's safe to do so. Witnessing a crash. Do not block emergency responders. Follow directions given by police, firefighters, and other persons authorized to direct traffic at the scene. Keep emergency responders and people involved at the collision scene safe by focusing on your driving as you pass. Slowing down to stare at the scene creates traffic congestion. Emergency kit. It's a good idea to keep an emergency kit in your vehicle. Here are some items you might want to have in an emergency. First aid kit. Flashlight. Blanket. Water. Jumper cables. Toolkit or multi-purpose utility tool. Backup phone charger or power source. Spare tire, wheel wrench, jack. Reflective triangles or flares. It's a good idea to keep a paper copy of important numbers, family members, insurance providers. The paper copy will be helpful if your phone battery dies and you need to call from a different phone. 5.10, law enforcement. Washington roads are managed by police and state agencies. Throughout your travels, you might encounter state, county, or local law enforcement, as well as emergency responders. Getting pulled over. Police vehicles attempting to stop drivers will do so by turning on flashing lights and/or a siren. If a law enforcement officer pulls you over, remember to 1. Use your turn signal and pull to the right side of the road as soon as it's safe. 2. Turn off the engine and any audio devices like radios. 3. Stay in your vehicle unless directed by the officer to get out. 4. Turn on your interior lights if you're pulled over at night. Officers might use a spotlight for additional visibility. 5. Keep your hands on the steering wheel. 6. Follow all instructions the officer gives you or your passengers. The officer could approach either side of the vehicle. When the officer approaches the vehicle, remember to 1. Lower the corresponding window so you and the officer can communicate. 2. Let the officer know right away if you have a weapon in the vehicle. 3. Wait for the officer's instructions before reaching for your driver license or vehicle documents. If you're pulled over, an officer will typically 1. Explain why you were stopped. 2. Ask for your driver license, proof of insurance, vehicle registration. 3. Tell the officer where these documents are located before reaching for them. 4. Explain what action they're taking, issuing a warning or ticket, or making an arrest. If the officer doesn't explain the action they're taking, you can ask them to do so. You are allowed to respectfully ask the officer questions. If you disagree with the officer's decision or course of action, do not prolong the contact by arguing with the officer. You may seek to contest the decision in court. If you believe the officer acted inappropriately, or have questions regarding their conduct, you can call or contact the office's agency and request a supervisor. This is best done as soon as possible after getting pulled over. Getting a ticket. If you get a ticket, you are required to sign for it. Your acceptance and signature isn't an admission of guilt. However, refusing to sign a traffic ticket could result in your arrest. You need to follow the instructions on the back of the ticket within 15 days to avoid having your driving privileges suspended. Driving with a suspended license could result in losing your vehicle and/or getting arrested.